2 weeks ago, I shared how we're entering into a time where our society and all of its turmoil and really a culture of hate, you know, that idea, if you don't hate who I hate you. Really, what does it mean to walk still in peace and to walk with joy in our lives in the middle of all of that? And that was July 26th. You can go back and listen to that message. Talked about what we're going to face in the elections in terms of the attitudes of people around us and how we should stay focused on Jesus. So I want to give a part two to that message today as we talk about this idea of a first love for God during last days. Now, I don't know how many of you have heard of this idea in the Bible of the last days. And it's kind of, it's always when it's talked about, there's always like these big personalities with these huge apocalyptic kind of thoughts and like big mysteries coming up. We're gonna make it a lot simpler what the Bible means about the last days. And we're going to talk about having a first love, the idea that God should stay first in our hearts, not just in our heads or in religion. And we're going to be looking at where Jesus talks about the last days and how that should give us an understanding of what we should anticipate and how to get our hearts ready. So that's really simply what we're going to do today. You know, as a dad, I told you 2 weeks ago, we sent my first daughter off to college, and this Thursday, we're sending my second, driving her for her first year, and we're making sure she has what she needs. We're also talking to her about things that, hey, don't make this a priority. You know, schoolwork's a priority, not just having fun, or please, you know, we don't like do TVs in the dorm room kind of thing. It's like, you don't need that. That's not what this is time about. Don't love that or live for that. Be about your schoolwork and building relationships and things like that. Well, sometimes in our spiritual lives, God has those moments with us too. Hey, as you're about to enter this next season, you know, that's okay, but don't live for that or fall in love with that. Don't make that the center of your life. And the whole idea is, you know, we can have a good father, a God who absolutely loves us, but if we're living for the wrong thing, and if we're loving the wrong thing, we're never going to have his peace in our life. Is he a good father? Is he always with us? Does he always care about it? Yes, absolutely. But are we going to feel peace and purpose? No. Why? Because we're attached to the wrong thing. Sometimes when I am, as a friend to like a single adult who's in an unhealthy relationship, I'm like, you don't need therapy. You don't need more prayer. What you need is to cut that relationship off. Okay, that's just, you're living for the wrong thing. Okay, that's the problem. That's why you have no peace and you don't understand what's going on with your future. You are more in love with who you think they are than who they really are. Okay, and sometimes as Christians, we start falling in love with this world and we start hoping it will be something that the Bible says it's never going to be. And I got to have the same kind of talk. It's like, hey, you can't love the world or live for it because it's going to put you on a roller coaster that you're never getting off. And so we've got to understand what it is to love God first and not this world. Between the racial tensions, COVID-19, employment, politics, elections, this world, if we don't make some changes about what we love and live for, it's going to drown us. It's just going to drown us. And we're going to be in this place where we're never happy, we never have peace, we don't love anybody around us well, and we're going to, as our community is doing right now, suffer with a lot of depression, a lot of mental health issues, and a lot of anger towards each other. So we've just got to understand that really that's from living for and trusting in the world's way of doing things. Plain and simple. Now, if you've been with us, we are about to enter our last week of the Old Testament. We're going to be reading about the prophets. And they are the people who, at the end of it all, about the rise and fall of Israel, you know, Israel gets conquered. Like, all these ways people by themselves try to find a solution for their nation, for their families, for the land, it never works. And the prophets, when we finish up the Old Testament, this is the message that they have for us. The human condition is hopeless. In other words, you and I, we can't save us. You and I do not have the answer. Self-help is no help. Now, do we have a part to play? Yes, we do. But it's got to start with the Savior that's from heaven, because you and I cannot save each other. And on a bigger scale, you and I cannot save our community. Man-made solutions always break down. And of course, we kind of all know that, right? The reason why you get married in a church and have a ceremony is because you're not doing a man-made thing at that moment. You're asking God to make you one. So it's a God thing that's going on, and that's why that lasts, all right? So the prophets say, look, this is hopeless. You know, I give you the rules, I show you how to live, I provide land for you, I bless you with so many things, and it still all breaks down because we don't have the answer for us. It's got to come from the one who's made us. And this world, it's just bound up in sin, and it breaks down. I finally bought a new lawnmower because after years and years of patching up the old one, I was like, this is useless. This is more pain than it's worth. It's always breaking down. It's time for a new one. Some of you are still putting money in that old clunker of a car, right? You're duct taping the fender, all right? It's like, it's just time to get a new one, all right? Just like, it's time. You just keep throwing money and you're just chucking it away. Right? Well, the world is like that. And it's not because there isn't a lot of good of the beauty of God and a lot of gifts in it, but this world's just running down. And so the end of the prophets, the message is this. Look, God's going to send a Messiah, or just the word Savior. God's got a Savior for all of us. Praise the Lord. Okay? We don't have to save us. God's got the answer. God, the Savior's going to come and give us a new way, literally, to be human. I mean, literally a new race is what the Bible calls it. Like, we're of a different spirit when we accept what Jesus has done for us. So he's going to give us a new way to live. And it's not just going to be about me, myself, and I. He's going to create a new community. The Bible calls it the kingdom of God. Like, it's this idea that there's a group of people who are living God's way. Instead of people ruling over them, God's ruling over them. So they're doing it right in this world. And that's what we know becomes, this is the church that happens, right? In Acts chapter 2, God pours out his spirit and the church begins. Now that church is not there just so it's like, hey, we got it right and all of you got it wrong. That's not why the church is there. The church has a job to tell the rest of the world that this world is ending and there's this last chance. There's this idea of the last days. And it's like, hey, this is not always going to stay this way. This world is just breaking down, and people trying to rule it man-made things never last. And so the church's job is not to be exclusive and say, we're better than you. The church's job is the opposite, to say, please become part of God's family, because this is going to end. And when this is going to end, there's going to be this brand new beginning. There's going to be this brand new beginning, and all the things we wish would stay the right way are going to stay the right way because people aren't ruling it. God's ruling it. So if you've ever heard this idea of the last days in the Bible, that's what this is about. Isaiah chapter 2 literally says, one of the prophets says, in the last days, in the latter days, this is what's going to happen. So when we get to Jesus, he's the Savior that comes, gives us a new way to live, forgive. He creates the church, right? He pours out his spirit. And now our job, we're living now in this place where our job is to help the world know that God has forgiveness and new beginnings, and there's a better way to do this. And one day this is ending, and God's going to rule and reign, a new heaven and a new earth. It's going to be amazing. So you and I literally are living in what the Bible calls the last days. Okay? Is that good? Simple definition? So everybody nod your head a little bit for me. They can't nod on camera. Good. All right. So the last days in the Bible is the time after the church begins and before Jesus returns. That's the last days. All right. And we are in the middle of them and getting close to them. The best way to think about it for all of my students in the room is when you get to the last period of the day, right? You're at school, last period, and the bell rings to start the last period. You are in the beginning of the end, right? Because you're in the final stage. You're in the final period. That bell rings. You are beginning the end. And you're in that time. You're in that final class before everything's finished. Well, you and I, when the church began, it was the beginning of the end. And now there's this time we're waiting for Jesus to return. But before he returns, we want to help as many people know him and be ready for his return. So that's what the last days is called. Now, it's not just a period of time, but it's actually kind of an experience. It's how what's going to happen in the world. See, the Bible says in the last days, a sinful world will consistently increase in opposition to God's truth, in intensity and aggressiveness. Like, it's just going to, you know, when you're in the last period of the day, the closer and closer to the final bell, the more people get restless, the more they stop listening to the teacher, the more they start doing whatever they want. Why? Because it's almost the end, and they're tired, and they want to finish. Well, the Bible says that's kind of the attitude of the world. It's more and more, we don't want to follow God. We don't want to try to do things his way. We want to do it our way. And the more we get a chance to do it, the more we put a stiff arm to God and say, no, our way. And the Bible says that until Jesus returns, this is going to happen all the time. And here's sometimes what I don't hear when people teach about the last days. Every society goes through this. So whether America is definitely in this in a deeper way, we're experiencing the last days, the world is growing more and more against the truth of God's word and the way things should be. And that's happening in the American society. Now, whether at the end of American society Jesus returns or not, maybe, I don't know, but that's happening to us right now. Our society is growing more and more against saying, no, that's not how God created people. Here's what we think about gender. This is what you can do with unborn life. All these different things, right? And so what we've got to understand is this is the process we're going to go through. And we don't have to be afraid of it, because the Bible tells us that if we are living for Jesus, if we really love him, if our first love is about him, that it's not going to have any power or control over us. So we can be in some places where people are more against what we believe, and we can be in places where people are just tragically choosing things that are going to hurt them instead of really help them. But we know that we can have peace, and not just like we're going to get through it, but we can be a blessing to people in the middle of it. We don't have to have some kind of just wait for Jesus to return, I hope I get through it. This is actually, some of the last days can be our best days to be a blessing to people and to have hope for them. And so we're going to look at what Jesus said about the last days. So it's not my word, it's not some kind of person trying to guess something. This is what Jesus said about the last days. And I want you to look at it, and in it, we're going to see how the last days can discourage us or how it can try to trip us up. And then we're going to also learn about, well, actually, this is the answer. This is all you have to do. If you'll focus on this, you'll be fine. Okay, so that's what we're going to do to finish up this morning. Everybody good? Good to go? All right, so here we go. This is what Jesus says about the last days. It doesn't start off with a bright and cheery thought, okay? In the last days, this is Jesus speaking to the disciples. They will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will increase, the love of many will grow cold. Now, it's important to notice in this passage that the world is hating believers, but because we believe in Christ, but the result is not necessarily so much that we hate them back, but that we start hating one another. Really interesting. I'm seeing this happening a lot right now. All right? And what's going to happen is false prophets are going to come. Lots of lawlessness going on right now. And the more lawlessness goes on, people are getting so frustrated with it, they're no longer loving God, they're just frustrated with the world. So all this, I think, is happening right now in our midst. So what Jesus says, though, is, hey, this doesn't mean life has to, you can still love your life, love me, be a blessing in the world. He says, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel, which is good news, this gospel of the kingdom of God, remember that new community trying to tell everybody else about it, will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Come on in. Be part of God's kingdom. He loves, forgives. There's a better way to do this. And then the end will come. That car is going to conk out on the side of the road and just tow it to the trash heap because there's no point doing anything else. This is coming. This world's just going to wind down. It's not going to work. All right? So that's what Jesus says here. Now, notice the pattern. And this is really Satan's plan of attack. This isn't about people attacking us. This is Satan's plan of attack on believers in the last days. You and I are in here. Okay, we're in the last days. This is what the enemy is trying to do. I see this happening right now. Because there is a growing sense that even Christianity is hatred, like you're teaching people to hate by believing in Jesus and believing the way he created life and gender and all those things. All right? So all of a sudden, there's the world kind of hate and starting to throw some hate our way and being very negative about Christianity. What's the result? We hate one another in the church. So I see this happening. Don't you see this happening now? People, because they're getting a lot of attacks from the world and they're not knowing how to handle it and it's upsetting them, then they're starting to, with each other in the church, start to hate each other, betray each other. It's really interesting. The hate from outside, we don't realize it as it's getting on us. It's leading us to hate each other. And I've shared before that, you know, especially when it comes to racial tensions and the whole idea of what the response, our churches are starting to get, I mean, there's so much pain on every side of the argument, so much fear, so much worry, that Christians, well, you're not doing this and you're not doing that. And they're actually, because of the hate of the outside, they're starting to hate each other. I mean, it's just what Jesus said would happen. So we've got to be really careful with that. Now, what the Bible said, what Jesus says, not Jesus said, now that happens, but what happens next is then false teachers come. Because people are not, they're not living in the right spirit, and they're not really representing Christ. All right, what's happening now is they start to say, oh, well, this person believes just the way I believe, or this person says I'm right, so I'll go over here. And remember, the Bible says, in one of the characteristics of the last days is people will gather around them teachers who do what? Tell them what their itching ears want to hear. Like, I want justification to hate that other believer or to judge that other believer or to look down on that other believer. And right now, look what's going on in church culture right now. I mean, there's a lot of people going against each other this way because, well, you're not hating that, or you're not against, or you're not doing this for as an answer. There's a lot of that going on. And all of a sudden, people are starting to divide, even in churches, and they're starting to say, well, I'm going to find someone who agrees with me. And what you're going to find out in the last days is you're going to have a lot, you're going to still have a lot of churches, but the love of many is going to go cold because you can't hate your brother and love God. Right? So there's going to be plenty of churches, but there's not going to be a whole lot of loving God going around there. Because what people don't realize is as they're so against things around them, it's causing them not to be for God. It's causing them not to embrace him more. So the Bible says this is the pattern going on. I see this going on. Thankfully, in Cornerstone, we've done a lot of relational work, and we felt all of these things. It's like, why don't you understand? Why aren't you with me? What's going on? And there's been temptation to hate and do, and to start dividing from each other. Thankfully, over our Cornerstone's been a healthy place, but I see this across churches right now in America going on. And we need to pray because we're not paying attention to what Jesus said was going to happen. So, what do we do with this? It's like, oh, well, let's hope that doesn't happen. No, there's actually three really easy answers that are in what Jesus says that the book of Acts lives out constantly. I'll give you one example as we go through it. And if you'll understand the truth of the last days and what you should be focused on, you're going to be just fine. So here we go. Let's wrap up this way. First of all, so how do we protect a first love for God in the middle of the last days? This is really important. We focus on who we are for more than who we are against. Someone say amen to that. All right. We're living in a culture right now that's very much against a lot of things. And God's against a lot of things. But the reason why he's against it is because he's for love, loving people to the life he has planned for them. We live in a culture right now that, like, one of the big things is it's not just that you're not racist, it's that you should be anti-racist, right? Okay, makes sense, but the question is why? Why are you in an anti-position? What are you for? Okay, we're in a society right now that basically is gathering people. The easiest way to be a leader is gather a crowd by being what you're against. That's the easiest way to draw a crowd. Let's all be against something together. Because we don't have to agree about what we're for. We just all agree about what we're against. Now, God's against sin, right? Jesus went into the temple, and he was against the money changers and the lenders. Why? Because he was against them? No, because he was for his house being a house of prayer for all people. You've got to know what you're for in order to understand how to handle what you're against. And if you are for a man-made thing, good luck. All right? So, simplest way to say it. If you don't know what you are for, being against things won't make things better. It will just make things different. Ever been there? Get a new boss? Not any better? Oh, it's different. You were against the old boss, but what'd you get? You didn't get anything better. You just got something different. Well, look, we're in a world right now that's against a lot of things. We've got to focus on who we are for. So this is very practical. We've got to spend more time being for Jesus than being against things. So more time, less. So if my social media time, if my conversations, if my reading time, if my I'm up at night thinking time is more about what I'm against, you are on a path for your love to grow cold. And that's the ploy of the enemy. So I want you to hear this. Now, I'm going to use one example for all three points just so you kind of see where the Bible lives this out. Here are some believers. Acts chapter 4, right? Peter and John go into the temple. They heal somebody. Well, that, you know, the Pharisees and Sadducees have already crucified Jesus. They don't want Jesus being known. So they, the believers, do something good. James and John do something good. And what do they get for it? Their local government does what? Arrests them and throws them in jail. Now they get to a trial. And Peter and John are supposed to stand up. Now they could stand up and talk about how unjust this was and that. And I'm sure there's room for all those conversations. But listen to what they talk about. When they get a chance to say something to the authority around them, here's what they say. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, that's going to be key, said to his enemies, "Know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead." They're talking about the injustice right there. "That this man stands before you healed. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Hey, everybody, there's something to be for. It's Jesus. He's got the answer. And the believers in the moment of tension with their enemies and those who are opposed to them, they spend their time talking about who they're for. How are we doing in that one? All right, in the last days, if we're going to keep our first love for Jesus, we've got to focus on who we're for more than who we're against. Most people think the last days, the reason the love of many grow cold is because of you know, sinful decadence and pleasure. It's like, no, it's because you're against so many people all the time, you forgot who you're for. All right, that's how your love's grown cold. Your heart's just so against. So we just really, so important word. Second one, we focus on living consistently more than how others react outrageously. Now, so this world is looking for big one-time events. We're just going to do this right now. We're gonna, you know, in the news cycle, big event, blah, 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 blah. Big event, nothing changes. Big event, nothing changes. What's happening? All right, we need a few big events, but what we need is some consistency between those big events, right? Like consistency. We need to live consistently. So think about it. We're for Jesus. We're consistently growing in loving him and serving him. We're more worried about our unseen time of how we're taking time with him, how we're acting in our homes. Are we part of some of the big events? Sure. But it's all about being consistent, because that is what this world needs. We've had so many times, and even within church, right? Even with church, people get all upset over an event. They do something, they show up for one event, and then where are they after that? All right? So if I could say this, and just having a kind of spiritual dad moment with you here, okay? Our society's worsening condition is not because of the growing power of its darkness. It's because of the fading away of our saltiness. All right? Now, I'm not saying sauciness. We're plenty saucy, okay? It's saltiness, all right? I mean, Jesus said, we are the salt of the world. We're supposed to preserve it and keep it healthy. And yet, we're seeing some hate come our way. We're tempted to withdraw. No, salt shouldn't withdraw. It should engage more, all right? And instead of trying to figure out, well, I'm going to engage you so you can figure out that we're, you know, against, it's like, actually, let me keep doing things that are for you, all right, for God, and let me consistently love you well. The reason why, when we hear about a world that starts hating us, the reason why we don't get fearful is because we know that love never fails. So I'm not, there's some people at a distance may never like me or speak kindly of me, but if I have a chance to be in relationships with someone who opposes me, I'm not worried about that one, because love's not going to fail. I get to change that, and I'm not going to start by just focusing on why I'm against them. I'm going to spend time being for the Jesus who really is for them. And so I'm not concerned that in this world, Christianity is going to get a bad name and people are going to start assuming the worst. All I need is some time with them, because I'm going to do this by the Spirit of God. I'm just going to walk consistently, right? We need to do that as a church family. We need to recognize that the power is God's love working through us. You know, here we are, and are there some things that I don't agree with in the school system about what they teach about gender and this and that? Yeah, not a big fan. I'm having those conversations. But when they call and say, hey, Pastor Sean, we hear that you care about our schools, and would you be, you know, our teachers are really, would you help us start the year blessing our teachers? We've gotten calls from 3 different public schools over the past 2 weeks. Hey, would you guys help us? And what are we going to do? Absolutely. We're for Jesus. He loves everybody in that school. We're not going to focus on what we're against. We're going to get in there with what we're for, and we're going to share some consistent love with them in some ways that are beautiful. By the way, not only has that happened, I actually got a call from one of our local newspapers saying, hey, Pastor Sean, we were talking, you know, a few months ago about you being one church family that speaks at least 2 languages and, you know, embraces at least 3 cultures and celebrates 4 generations for the glory of God. You know, I've been looking at my world around me, and I think I'd like to do a story on your church and how they are being so different than the world around us. Well, don't clap. We'll see how that goes, okay? But it's good that they're thinking, oh, some consistency. Okay. You know, I forgot about them with all the news cycle, but now they're moving out. Maybe I need to talk to those people. So we want to do that individually. So this breaks down to what? It's like, hey, stay for Jesus, stay consistent, love him, spend time with him, and do that for the people around you. Don't back down, just love him consistently. Yeah, it's going to work. Now, we need to do that as a church as well. That's why online and in here, it's so important for us to still worship corporately together, okay? Next week, I'm going to share with you, Lord willing, if I get all the ducks in a row, I'm going to share with you some big news about how we're going to go above and beyond this fall to make sure we can all come together and worship corporately. So that's next week. Get ready. All right? Because the scripture says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. All right? So we're going to live that out. One of the things I realized, For us who are adults, who've been in church a long time, we know that corporate worship and the conversations outside service and the way we pray for each other, we know the value of that. There's a generation growing up that for the past 6 months is being taught that church is nothing more than a Netflix show. I'm going to watch service, I'm going to cut my yard. It's like, well, hold up there. How about watch the service and see what God's going to do in your life? We've got to be so faithful to the next generation that they don't grow up with a model that says church is just information, right? So we're working on that. Praise the Lord for Jen and Andrea doing all the VBSs with the kids. And by the time we get to fall, all that's going to come back here as well. So we're working on all those things as a staff because we want to follow the scripture. Notice what Peter and John do in that story of Acts chapter 4. The Sanhedrin called them in again and commanded them to not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Listen to their response. Judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God, for we cannot help being consistent. That's what we're going to do. Well, you're the authority. You do what you're going to do. We're going to be consistent. So I encourage you, there's great power in that. The world wants these big one-time moments. You just go like this. You just keep walking forward, and God's going to do great things. Last thought. We focus on the mission of the church more than the solutions of the world. So important, okay? I think Christians are getting a little too tied to man-made movements, all right? Nothing man-made lasts, okay? That doesn't mean we can't be involved in some of them, and they can serve a purpose in the moment, but they are not the savior of the world. Can I get an amen? All right, let's be careful about that. Political parties, anything man-made, that ain't lasting. And if that's what you're for, if that's your big what you're for, that is not going to go well for you. Because anything man-made just winds down, bound to decay, and it just drowns in itself. All right? So we've got to be careful because we've really got sucked into the world's narrative. Right? Now, everything's about man-made movements. And I'm telling you what. We should be in the middle. We should be salt in the middle of government and communities. And sure, but we're for Jesus. We're consistent about living a life of love. And we're on mission, all right? Because this is the answer. Church is Jesus established. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's not man-made. We can make a man-made mess of it, right? But Jesus, the church, is not man-made. It's him who we're following. And he is who can get past the gates of hell that want to keep strife and anger and hate alive and want to create fear in us. Jesus, when he returns, he's returning for his church. He's not returning for the world. Now, that's not an exclusive statement. That's a statement that the church is another name for God's family. Like, God wants everybody in the family. Come on, let's get all in. So this mission is way more important than some man-made solution. So let's stop giving our best emotional energy and our brain power to man-made solutions over the mission of the church. Amen? Someone with me? Come on. All right, this is important. We got to do that. Yeah, thank you. We've got to recognize we've gotten sucked into too many. We're acting like the world has a solution. You know, the only man-made solution that has any value to it is the one that Christians who are living strictly for Jesus influence the right way. But that man-made, that's just something that's going to crumble. So, the end's coming, no matter what we try to solve here. That's not changing. So, let's think about this. If we focus on, identify with, and define our relationships by man-made movements, our love for God will grow, cold should be there, and our power to offer the good news of Jesus to a dying world will grow weak. Is that right? Come on, we got to stop identifying each other by man-made movements. That's a mistake. That's a mistake. Right? We've got to start identifying ourselves, our focus, our passion, our emotional energy, the words we say to other people, that needs to be about God's goodness, the good news of Jesus Christ. That's what we're for. That's what we're for. That's what we talk about. And that's what this world needs. If we take our best effort and give it to man-made solutions and then give our leftovers to the church, it's so messed up. That's not going to work. Jesus is coming back for his church. The church is the hope of the world, mobilized, doing what it should do. So we've got to do that together. You know, I was, and this idea of defining each other, like, oh, I'm sitting in that church, but that's a, you know, I don't even want to start labeling all, because we'll just start getting sucked into them. That's like, oh, that's a this church, and that's a that church, and those people there, those are those people. It's like, stop labeling each other by man-made movements. It's a mistake. And what happens is this. So the Bible says that Jesus said the kingdom of God is like this mustard seed that's planted, and it's a small seed, but when it grows, it turns into this big tree where everybody can come. Well, 2 weeks ago when I gave that word about what's ahead for the election and the emotional turmoil and the persecution that's going to increase in 2021, lots of people wanted to talk afterwards, and we're outside obviously talking. And when we're talking, this head cannot handle the sun, right? This does not. So I did what? I went to that tree over there and I stood underneath the tree. I'm talking to people because what is that tree giving me? It's giving me shade. And I'm talking to someone. We're talking about this idea of like, we got to stop. Why are we letting the world lead us in how we're identifying each other and talking to each other? Why are we doing that? And then what we noticed is that tree had branches that went, one went this way and one went that way and one went that way. And that, because the branches didn't go all the same direction, it actually provided shade and protection for people from every direction, right? Jesus said, I am the vine, I'm the tree, you are the branches. So maybe someone should go that way and try for Jesus, reach people in that man-made movement. And maybe some people for Jesus should go this way and try to reach people for that man-made movement. And maybe some this way. Maybe if we're all really for Jesus and we're all having consistent life from the roots that are deep in him and on mission, maybe all those branches going in different directions are a good thing. Maybe it's not left and right. Maybe it's from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I'm calling people together, right? Maybe it's that. But if I look at that person in the church and say, man-made movement that way, no. They're in that man-made movement, no. Do we want a tree that's got branches just this way, just all piled on each other? Is that what we want? Or do we want this beautiful kingdom of God to grow up, and we want people who go different directions so everybody gets shade? And when it rains, everybody's got a place to hide. Like, that's how we should be looking at life. We should be looking at it in light of the mission, not man-made movements. If we'll keep God first, we'll keep it for Jesus. Let's do some follow-through. And let's stay focused on the mission. Man, the last days could be our best days, if that's what we do. So I don't know which one you need to think through, which one God's speaking to you the most on. Right? This idea of, man, I'm spending so much time being against things. Lord, forgive me. Renew my love and my passion for you. When people talk to me and something bubbles out, I want it to be you. I want you to be the first thing I want to talk about. Become real and alive in my life again. You are a good father. Forgive me for living for the wrong thing. Follow through. Boy, I got upset easy. I want it to be neat and clean. I don't like when I show up one time. Lord, I just need to know you more. I need to live it out with the people closest to me more. I need to ask for forgiveness. And I need to be gracious. And I need to have some mercy. Just consistency. And then this whole last idea of, Lord, forgive me for being more passionate about man-made movements than the God-created church that has the answer for all people. And help me to be okay with some people going that way and some people going this way. and some people going that way. Because, Lord, we want them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Come on in. Come to the place that brings shade and blessing and has what you need. We're not better than anybody. We want everybody to know the one who makes it all better. That's what we want. We don't need different. We need better. And only God has that. Only what God builds is better. So I'm going to ask you, we're just going to wrap up here, and I'm so thankful for that idea that he's a good father. Here's what we'll do. Why don't you stand? We're just going to wrap up right now. Why don't you stand with, and just make a few decisions in your heart, online as well as here in the building. First of all, are you for Jesus? And if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, today's the day. And it's such common sense. Of course I know I can't save me. Like, who doesn't know that? Of course I need the one who created me to heal me. And I didn't create me. So I want to encourage you, as we move into this moment of worship, and Pastor Brian will kind of wrap us up, if that's you, while we're in this singing about Good Father, you just have an honest conversation with God this morning. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I want to be for you. And you gave your life on the cross for me. Of course you're for me. Settle that today. And then just let the Spirit of God. Here's the last piece we hear about Peter and John and having a confrontation with those who oppose them. Here's the last thing is recorded about it. They pray to God and they say, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they were consistent. They just kept saying what they need to say. And I'm just going to ask you, if that's your desire, Lord, I'm following through, I'm focused on the mission. If you would like that today, if you want to be that person, if you want to live in that peace today, I'm just going to ask you to lift your hands to the Lord as you just focus on you and the Lord right now. Lord, as we sing this song to you, both at home and here, we want to refocus that you're a good, good Father who's with us. And we ask you to bring new life into us. As, Lord, we repent of living for and loving the wrong thing, and make the deepest change in our hearts today. Let's just worship together.